You're listening to the Habitology Podcast with Melanie White, and today I'm talking about how to be successful as an introvert coach. If you're an introvert who coaches, then you need to consider carefully how you're going to work with others to get the best out of yourself and create a thriving coaching practice. And as a coach, trainer, and assessor, I have seen many introvert coaches in actions, and I've come to know some of their common traits. Today, I really want to help you if you're an introvert coach so that you can understand your strengths, how to get the balance right, areas for work, which clients are best for you, and how to maintain your energy and deliver great coaching to your clients. We're going into a deep dive into these things. And I will give you some backstory, which is that I used to be very introverted, and according to Myers-Briggs, I'm pretty much an ambivert these days, which is in between introvert and extrovert. I'm kind of on the fence and can go either way. And I know some of the things that have worked for me, and I know some of the challenges that other introvert coaches have faced and what's worked for them. So I want to share some of these things with you today so that you can go onto a path of growth personally and professionally and be successful in your coaching practice. So with that backstory out of the way, let's start with the strengths of introvert coaches. And I'm just talking about my experience and my opinions here. So this might not be an exhaustive list, and some people might disagree with some things I say, but treat this as a guide. I'm going to share insights here that I've picked up over the past 10 years, 11, 12 years working as a coach and coach trainer. I've noticed that introvert coaches typically have some really exceptional strengths that make them a very good fit to be a coach. And if you are an introvert coach listening to this, you're probably already aware of your strengths as a coach and as a person. Firstly, introverts generally like to feel prepared for the work they're going to do. And this typically means doing something that helps you to feel focused and confident going into your coaching session, ready to be totally present with your client. So if that's you and that resonates, wonderful. What is it that you do to feel prepared for a session? Maybe you look over the client notes, you read the emails that they've sent, you think about the last session with them, or maybe you do some sort of a meditation or other ritual that helps you to feel present and ready. Whatever it is, I'm sure that you're all over the preparation side of things for the session because that helps you to feel calm and more present. And then when I think about introvert coaches I've assessed or worked with, they are very calm. So they bring this calm energy to the session that helps people to feel safe, trusting, and ready to open up. It's so powerful, and it's such an important part of coaching presence and coaching relationship. One introvert coach that I know starts her session with a be here now kind of approach, where she seeks permission from her client to have a short guided meditation that puts her clients at ease. And it's a lovely way to ease into a session and be present after a hectic day, to kind of let all that daytime stuff or the previous hour stuff wash off and just be here now. And this might be something that you do as well. Also, as an introvert, you're probably an exceptional active listener. Active listening is one of my strengths in coaching. And if you are really good at being an active listener, then you're usually very good at not just hearing what's being said, but also hearing what's underneath, hearing what's not being said, picking up on the energy, the subtlety, the word, the nuance of what's really going on. And you're usually very good at reflecting and leaving silence too. So when your client is emotively relaying an experience or a fear in that conversation, you're probably someone who can pick up the words that they use a lot or the feelings that they've got behind certain words that tell a story of something deeper. And when it does come to exploring that deeper stuff, you're probably great at seeking permission to explore topics that are sensitive. And you have this gentle and compassionate way of exploring those things respectfully and tactfully with lots of reflection and silence, which are two other very important coaching skills. And if you're like the introvert coaches that I know, you're probably very intuitive, sensitive, and empathic. So you might be very good at picking up body language and facial expressions that indicate how someone else is feeling and when they're experiencing a shift. So not just the underlying stuff, but generally through a session, this is an important skill that tells you how to progress the conversation and the session and where to go next. It's a signpost that tells you how to behave and respond. These are just some of the strengths of an introvert coach. Others could include mindfulness and presence, the ability to truly be with the client. Bringing all of these skills together, you also might be very good at summarizing, in other words, using summary reflections. You're probably attracting clients who talk a lot or need to verbally process or sit in silence, and using few powerful words might be a skill that you have. There could be other areas that I could talk about, but these are the main ones that come to mind and that I was thinking about when creating this episode. So then, what are an introvert's areas for work as a coach? I mean, every coach has areas for work. Introverts are no exception. And in my work as a coach, trainer, and assessor, I've seen areas for work that a lot of introverted coaches I've come across seem to have in common. I find that some introverted coaches really find it hard to use a variety of questions or find interesting questions. And I kind of think that's because they're great listeners, but might not be used to doing much of the talking or having the spotlight on them. And so to that end, if you're able to research and practice different types of questions outside of the session, that can be really helpful, as can being coached yourself. The experience of being a client and being coached and being asked some of those different questions can be really useful. That's relevant for everyone, but particularly for introvert coaches who aren't used to coming up with different questions. Introvert coaches might also struggle with guiding the session and keeping it on track. I see this a lot, especially if they have a talkative or an extroverted client. And this usually comes down to confidence in setting up the session agenda or being able to park tangential conversations, and also learning how to respond appropriately with someone that talks and talks and talks and talks with barely a space for breath. If you're an introvert coach, you might be nodding, yes, I know those things, and I've been through them myself. So here are some ideas. To help you with guiding a session, I would recommend that you practice your spiels for the session, intro and outline, the agenda, and setting up each section with a clear, succinct outline. So for example, clearly explaining what's going to be covered in the session up front. Getting that really polished and succinct is helpful. And then as you're going on to the next session, next section of the session, having a brief, succinct description of what's next. For example, okay, we've had some great background conversation. Let's talk about a vision for your health and well-being, which is blah, blah, blah. So very brief, succinct. And then being able to segue into the next section, which in this case could be 3 monthly goals, with a brief overview of what's next. This is actually playing into one of your strengths. Introverts love feeling prepared. So being clear on those spiels and practicing them is a good way to create that feeling of confidence and to bring that structure to the session that helps it to stay on track. Now, what happens if your client goes on a tangent? Ooh, and they talk and talk and talk. I like to gently bring them back to the focus point, and you can say something like, thank you for sharing that. You said that you wanted to focus on stressful relationships today, and I'm wondering if it would be okay if we go back to that topic, or has that shifted? And usually they'll say, oh, no, we've gone off track. So some sort of a spiel like that, some sort of a statement that brings them away from the tangent and back into the present moment can be really helpful. If you have a client who's talkative and barely takes a pause for breath, then you might need to use a different approach to keep the session on track. I like to use short reflections that interrupt the dialogue, and not literally interrupt, but jump into that breath space and cause them to really think. So for example, one client was talking at length, and when she paused for breath, I simply reflected, gee, you just used the word impatient several times. I just had enough time to get that in. But it really stopped her in her tracks and got her thinking deeply about how she was feeling, not just what she was thinking. And that's often the case. We attract people that have all these thoughts racing around and they just want to get them all out and tell somebody, but they're not really connected with their feelings. So you can consider other techniques for getting a client out of their head and into their feelings and into their body by saying things like, or asking things like, when you say impatient, where do you feel that in your body? Or if you didn't feel impatient, what would that open up for you? So some of these short reflection statements and powerful questions can be really useful for someone who's quite verbose. It means that you can get to the heart of the matter really quickly, and that is often a skill of introvert coaches. One last thing to mention about introverted coaches is that they can become easily overwhelmed, take on the client's energy or problems, or feel a need to fix people and maybe not good enough or they didn't do enough. And I will say that the need to fix isn't just exclusive to introverts, but because introverts are often sensitive and empathic, it can be something that comes up more commonly, in my opinion. Introverted coaches might also struggle with setting time boundaries, for example, finishing on time, asking for payment, and they might feel intimidated or out of their depth with group coaching or complex cases. And so I'll talk about some of those things more in a minute. That's a slightly different approach, in my opinion. So how do you get the balance right? Having considered the strengths and challenges of introvert coaches, you can probably see what's required to get that balance right. Firstly, it's obviously helpful if you prepare for your sessions, maybe by visualizing how each session will go and rehearsing the steps mentally, practicing how you're going to introduce the session, some of the questions that you might want to use, or how you'll keep the conversation on track. You might not need any of those things, and it's good not to script a session. I want to be really clear about that. We don't want to script a session. This is about you feeling prepared. So that process of rehearsing different things, even if they never get used, and being open to just letting them go in case they don't even come up, but that process of rehearsing can be really helpful for you to feel confident and assertive in a coaching session, and to have rehearsed how you would set boundaries and maintain the second session focus and agenda. But it's also important to remember that listening is just as valuable and sometimes more valuable than talking. For example, you might attract clients who are verbal processors, as I mentioned before. They just want to be heard. They just want someone to listen. And so your ability to hold space can actually be a really key value proposition that you offer. So being prepared and understanding the value of what you bring can help you to get that balance right, to feel energized and not drained. But also managing your energy is equally important. You might find, at least initially, that working one-to-one is best for you. And you'll probably find that you have a limit as to how many clients you can see without feeling drained. For me, the number is 10 per week. More than that, or if I have more than one or two groups, I'm cooked mentally, because I don't take on other people's stuff, and learning not to do that is important. But for me, the energy requirement to be present, it is quite significant. So that's my number, 10 per week. Also, having plenty of space between sessions is important. That gives you some breathing space, and it can be really helpful to process your thoughts and feelings about each session before moving on to the next. And that way you avoid ruminating on what happened and rehearsing and getting fixated on stuff. So here are some ways that you can do that processing that allow you to let the session go. Firstly, you can keep a coaching log after each session, and every coach should be doing this, but you're entering notes of what went well, what might need work, and you might also come up with some key learnings or action steps for yourself. I would also recommend, in addition to doing that, you could do something else that takes you away from the thinking space and from the brain space. For example, take a walk, pull out some weeds, which is really therapeutic, or go for a run or a bike ride. Some sort of a repetitive physical action, swimming, something like that, that brings you into your body and into a moving meditation kind of state and out of that emotional state so you can burn off some of the energy and perhaps even do some reflection. So get your body moving somehow. And also after your coaching log or debrief, you might like to do some left brain activities like writing a list, developing a plan, doing your client admin, anything that takes you out of the feeling space and into the thinking space. So as you can see, rather than getting bogged down in the emotion and the energy of the session, finding a way to calm down, finding a way to get into a physical or logical thinking space after a session can be really helpful. These are just examples, and you might have your own wonderful method, but using it and being consistent with it is really important because that's what getting the balance is all about. Leading on from that, let's talk about which clients are best for introvert coaches. I believe that for any coach, finding your people is essential to your success because it allows you to show up as your best every time, and they are going to get a really fantastic outcome from the session because of the chemistry you have. Relationship is the heart of coaching. So if you can find your people, that's critical no matter who you are. But as an introvert coach, you might find that you work best with other introverts or ambiverts, more optimistic people rather than very needy or negative people. You might find you're better off with more left brain, sciencey sort of people, more logical and less emotive. Or extroverts who are engaged and enthusiastic, but also have zest. So not that outrageous high energy, but calm energy. They might be your people. I think the best thing to do is check in with your own energy as you're working with different types of clients and figure out, when are you feeling energized? And when are you feeling drained and why? So being aware of which people light you up and are the best to work with is really helpful, especially for introverts, because you're more prone to being drained by other people. The other side of it is not to do with your client, though. It's about letting go of your own expectations, worries, imperfections, and so on. Because after all, when you are relaxed, centered, calm, grounded, and confident, it's pretty hard to rock your energy no matter who you are. And that leads into my next point about maintaining your energy. I believe that for you to maintain your energy as an introvert, self-care is a priority, but so is personal growth. Make enough time away from clients, work, and thinking, and get into nature, hobbies, fun, and other relationships. It's really important for you to do these things so that you can show up and be your best in every coaching session. In my experience, most introverted coaches I've met aren't really very self-assured. And so I also feel that working with your own coach and going on your own path to growth is so important because it allows you to let go of the need to fix or save people, to let go of insecurities, to let go of imperfection, or any of those sorts of things that might be relevant to you. And I'm not saying they are, but they could be. All of those things are critical to becoming a masterful coach. And it's also true for extroverts and ambiverts, of course, but I feel it's more of a thing and more of a challenge for introverts in terms of putting themselves out there, showing up with the right calm energy, and feeling confident to start. Finally, you can use your listening skills for a really great purpose, to really hear feedback from your clients and to really notice what happens in their body language when they work with you. See that you're helping them. Hear that they're more energized and hopeful, and know that your coaching helped them to get there. So to wrap up what we talked about today, introverts can be amazing coaches who have incredible impact on their clients. Your unique skills are valuable for anyone who needs to be heard, who is a verbal processor and talk through things, for people who want to feel grounded, have more structure, feel more calm, and develop a mindful energy, and they need that around them. For you to be successful in your coaching practice as an introvert, you may need to be selective about who you work with and how many clients you see. You might need to space your client sessions out. You might need to do some more preparation or practice certain things in order to feel confident. And you might also benefit greatly from self-reflection, body-based processing activities, and working with your own coach. Personal growth with the support of an objective third party can really bring out the best in an introvert coach. And you can do this if you want to have a more confident, effective, and impactful business. I hope that's been helpful. We're going to talk about extroverts next time, I promise. Have a great week, and I'll see you soon. Bye for now.